Blog Talk Radio.
Well, this is the show that keeps picking up steam each and every week. I know last week with the AT&T outage knocked us all out on all the shows. We apologize. We're usually not that off till Christmas when everybody's given a week off, but we got an early one this time and glad to be back. And I know you guys have been looking forward for this show. A lot to talk about. Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. My sidekick, the straw that stirs a drink, can't do the show without her, Danielle Orsino in Charlotte. A couple months, she'll be in New York. 347-205-9631. Anything after that, 30 minutes goes by quick. blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcast, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay that red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes. Danielle, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And boy, there's a lot of talk in Pittsburgh, Denver, Chicago, even in your neck of the woods in a couple months, the New York Giants, on what they want to do with Daniel Jones moving forward.
Oh, there's so much to talk about, Mark. So let's jump into things. I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here. Everybody can get a hold of me as the usual place on Instagram at Birth of the Fae. First and foremost, we want to send out our condolences, thoughts, and prayers, obviously, to all the victims of the Kansas City Super Bowl parade shooting and to the family of the Galvin family who lost the mother. Obviously, tragedy. We hate to see it happen, you know, to anyone. There were arrests made, two men were arrested, and two juveniles were arrested. We don't know the names of the juveniles. They were arrested for possession. The two men will be charged with second-degree manslaughter, I believe is what it's going for right now, and possession and other things. So that's the latest on that. But obviously, condolences to the families, people that were lost, and of the 21 other people that were injured. A lot of them were kids, unfortunately. So some are still hospitalized, but obviously we send, you know, our prayers to everyone and our thoughts with them. On that note, I've been asked and I've been DM'd by several people asking my thoughts on just the status of things and if we had opinions on it. So being the fact that we don't toe the NFL Network line, I'm going to give an opinion on it. So here's my thought on this, Mark, and I don't know what yours is. I'm not going to get into the whole gun control because we're not political here, and I'm not getting into that. So, you know, this was not a football-related thing. These guys were arguing that's a totally separate issue. My issue with this is the fact that Taylor Swift was the first one to donate. So nothing to do with the NFL, but here's this woman, and everybody can think what they want about Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and we have our opinions on it. But the fact that this woman who has nothing to do with the NFL was the first one to put up $100,000, classy move, classy woman, classy act. The NFL should be absolutely ashamed of themselves that she beat you all to the punch. That's my first thought. The Kansas City Chiefs should be completely ashamed of themselves that, once again, Kelce's girl beat you to the punch. She shouldn't have been the first one to put that money up. That should have come out of your pockets. The second thing, Kansas City Chiefs, the family, all of them, they only put $200,000 up. So you're going to tell me T-Swift over there put up $100,000 and all you guys could muster was $200,000? And Travis Kelce, who's on the team who just won the Super Bowl, only matched Taylor Swift with $100,000. No offense, guys, you make millions upon millions of dollars. $100,000 is a drop in the bucket. That's one of your COVID commercials, Travis. You guys should be paying the hospital bills for these kids. Instead, I have no problem with Travis Kelce taking selfies with the police who escorted him to safety. I don't have an issue with that at all because, honestly, these guys just helped save your life. Like, what are you going to do, say no? My issue was 2 hours later, you went to dinner, and all of you guys took selfies and then posted them on Instagram. When these people were wondering if their kids were going to make it, when this family was mourning the loss of the mother, have some class, hold the pictures. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, just take it down a notch for a second. And once again, it was Brittany Mahomes, funny thing, and Travis Kelce. And then you guys are going, thoughts and prayers. Oh, my God, city of KSA, we're so upset. No. You know what? Hold it for a day. I get it. You just won the Super Bowl, and Kelce was drunk out of his mind and whatnot. But you guys should be putting up more money and helping these people out. Pay for the funeral, do stuff, whatever. Because they were all gathered to see you guys. I'm not saying it's your fault, but, like, optics here and the NFL, $200,000, that's all you could spare? Pay for all those kids in the hospital. Pay their bills. Set up a fund. Do something. Don't just show up for one day and visit them and high-five and get a photo op. Give me a little more. That's my personal feeling on it, and this is what I was asked about. And instead, you turn on Good Morning Football, and it's like, we just can't have nice things. I guess we can't have Super Bowl, you know, parades anymore. Really? That's what you're talking about right now? How about talk about the fact that, like I said, Taylor Swift was the first one to put up $100,000. No other player. So Mahomes with his whole, I'm the Walter Payton nominee for my team, and Mahomes. Yo, Mahomes, you get paid how much? You should have been the first one to put up there. You're the quarterback. You're the team leader. You're the MVP. You put up your money first, and it should have been $1 million, dude. That's nothing. While your wife is running around in all her outfits, posing on Instagram and being like, yeah, keep my name in your mouth, okay? Yeah, you should have been putting up the money first. That's how you are a role model. That's how you are the Walter Payton man. That's what you should have been doing.
Yeah.
So that's my rant. Well, I'm done now.
It's a hell of a rant. And I mean, I'm gonna jump on that rant. I'm going to continue at Kansas City because you know, we got Bucks County, Joey from Bucks County coming in talking about the super fan that kind of robbed 11 banks, made $800,000, and now his sentence is set for July 10th. He's looking at 50 years. And they're calling for restitution to pay like $532,000. How the hell? I get a kick out of these things. When they catch these guys robbing, and here's the problem I got. And you know what? Why this show is good, Danielle? Because you and I shoot from the hip, and we got a lot of bullets in the chamber, and we don't really care what people think. Either they pick us as far as an acquired taste, or they get used to us, or they pretend they don't listen to us, but they do listen to us. But we're picking up steam right now, 156 strong, and it just keeps picking up right now. 5 minutes into this thing, but I get a kick out of the restitution. How the hell is this guy paying restitution when you put him away for 50 years? Are you about as dumb as that guy Robin Banks? No, but are they about as dumb as Robin Banks? I mean, he robs 11 banks, gets away with $800,000, so you catch him. You sentence him July 10th, and I know it's past your birthday that time, and a big happy birthday to you, if I remembered it, July 5th.
Yes. July 3rd, close enough, though.
Okay, you know, I'm getting you. What I don't understand is, if you're putting him away for 50 years, and now we're getting comments on this, how the hell is a guy paying you back $532,000? Are you kidding me? The guy's 29 years old. By the time he gets out of there, he's going to be almost 80. How the hell is he paying you back $532,000? I don't get it. You can chew on that for a minute while I rip the Kelce boys. And these guys are clowns. These guys, I'm telling you, and I keep saying this, and
I keep saying this.
These guys need to go and do a drama series in their house and put it up on YouTube or whatever they want to put it up on, to let just them guys enjoy it, because these guys are complete clowns. They really are. They're like a 15-minute car chase. Everybody gets excited. Everybody talks about these guys, and yet, you know what? They're gone. It's like, what have you done for me lately? And you know what? The Chiefs, congratulations, you won a Super Bowl. Mahomes is not a Brady. I don't care what anybody says. And Andy Reid is not a Bill Belichick. And I don't care what anybody says. So I've thrown two things out there. Thanks to Joey from Buckholz County, Pennsylvania, coming in and telling us about this super fan that that ripped off 11 banks, and he's got a restitution charge after he's put away for 50 years. Good luck with that.
There's, yeah, like I said, there's a lot there to take apart. You know, I'm not.
What I like to take apart, and sorry for jumping in on that, is what are the Giants doing, man? I mean, you're going to go draft a quarterback. You got Jones there. He's a young guy. He's a young stud. He's proven himself. Yet you're going to go. You got a lot of problems to fix up. Maybe the lines, the offensive and defensive lines, and you're going to worry about drafting a quarterback?
Well, I mean, there's a couple different things here. It depends on who we're getting. You know, Eli has been seen working out with Drake Mayer. So there is that talk that, and there is talk that Drake could fall. So they're back and forth with that. Jones, I don't think has proven himself. I mean, let's be honest. Jones has not proven himself. Now, have we done everything humanly possible to mess that dude up? Yes, we have. Unfortunately, we have. We have not given him a line that he could actually be protected. We have given him so many offensive coordinators and coaches since he started that he has not had any consistency. So do we have to bear the brunt of some of that pain? 100%. I don't know what they're doing. I have heard that they're looking at Daniels. I've heard Drake Mayer. Like I said, I've heard a couple names, and that would mean passing on Malik and some high-powered, you know, give him a high-powered weapon. But at the same point, we've given him some high-powered weapons. But if you can't get free, then those high-powered weapons don't really matter. So there's a lot
right.
of chicken and the egg here thing. But if you have the opportunity, you know, and Mayer falls in your lap, what are you going to do? Say no? Like, you know, there's some of these guys, and like I said, the next QB class, no one is excited about. There's nobody coming up that you're going, okay, wow. So at the same point, if Daniel Jones shows, you know what, there's just nothing left in the tank, dude. What are we supposed to do? So I get kind of where they're going. My concern is no one is tagging any of the free agent running backs coming out. Henry is not getting tagged. Eckler isn't getting tagged. Jacobs. You know, Saquon, none of them are getting tagged. So what is this going to do to the running back market now? And from what I'm hearing, everybody is expecting the Giants to put something on Saquon, and that's going to set the market. But I don't think the deal is going to get done. I've heard Jerry Jones is sniffing hard around Saquon, like seriously. Pollard's
well,
not getting his deal either. So you know, and Jerry Jones, let's face it, he's enough of a snake to turn around and look at the Giants and go, I'm going to take him. Thank you so much. And he's coming with me. You know, so I'm not sure what the Giants are doing. I've heard that they are seriously looking at drafting a quarterback. But I don't know. I really don't know what Schoen's doing. I know he's talking. I've heard that he is meeting with Caleb Williams as well. And that if a good package presented himself, which means, I would not be surprised if they put something together and they trade up. If that meant Williams was on the board and there was a shot. But
well,
I will
tell you, I don't understand what they're trying to do because I like Jones a lot. He you know, if you build a line for him and protect him. But I'll tell you one thing. If you guys don't want Jones in New York, I'll take him definitely in Pittsburgh. Because sometimes these guys, they have a – sometimes the bright lights in the big city is a little overwhelming.
He's not meant for that.
And then
yeah,
you get into these small football towns where you can concentrate just on football. And it's not a knock with the Giants, and you know I love you dearly. But you get into Pittsburgh or Green Bay and where they can concentrate on football, it's a whole different light.
Yeah.
I'll tell you two other quarterbacks here that are scratching their heads and not wondering where they're going to be going is – And one of them I can't figure out because I know there's a first-year coach there at Mayo in New England is Mac Jones. He could use a fresh start somewhere.
I think Justin Fields should go to – I personally think Justin Fields should go to the Patriots. I really honestly believe that's where Fields should go. That's
See,
my
I'm not sold on him. I'm not sold on him because, first of all, the Bears haven't had a 4,000-yard passer in their history. Second of all – anybody that comes out of Chicago becomes a bust wherever they go. I mean, you got, you know, other than Harbaugh there. Yeah, but you know these kind of guys fall off the radar. And you know what? You know, it's like working in a company, Danielle, and I'm sure you can agree with me on this. You go work in a company, you show up, yet the guy that's in charge is lackadaisical and shows up whenever he wants. I know he's paying the paycheck, but his standard is, you know, okay, I don't give a shit. So some of the employees have that same, you know, standard. They develop that. So the culture is all screwed up, even though you're a worker and you show up on time and you're ready to go. There's other guys in that company that are basically stealing money. They don't care. So the situation becomes like this, is they've burned them out. And the problem is these teams. The teams should be held accountable. They get these quarterbacks, and we've talked about it with the Marinos and the Elways in the day. They would hold a clipboard, learn the system, kind of like Love has done in Green Bay, and then they're ready to go. But these guys, they don't do that in Chicago. They don't do it in San Francisco. They don't do it with the Jets. They throw these guys in. Carolina's another screwed-up organization. And this is what happens. You've got teams that after three games and seven interceptions and two touchdowns, they're ready to throw the guy outside the city and let him get hit by six cars on the expressway. It's not fair. So you've got to look at the teams.
Justin Fields needs a little bit of love. I think there's some gas in that tank. And I think Justin Fields going to the Patriots, I think he can do more for them quicker and I think get the morale back and help them out. But I also think he can make the right progressions there, and I think that's a better trade than them starting all over. Do I think Drake Maier is good? Yes, there's no doubt, but he's still a rookie. You're looking, again, at years, you know, a good season of development. I don't think the Patriots – can handle another year of looking down. Look how quick, if you look at their report card, it's horrible. They're not happy with Kraft. They certainly were not happy with Belichick. And Belichick, for as much as being a hard ass and all this other stuff, he still wanted, his whole thing was do your job, get it done right. These guys don't want to do that because why? They're losing. That attitude's great when you're winning. When you're winning, you don't mind if your coach is a hard ass because, well, the system's working. This culture is working. When you're losing, nobody wants a hard ass. I don't think they can handle that. They're all up on Mayo right now. Oh, it's new blood. This is great. He's one of us. Yeah, when you're losing and you have another bad season, you see that they're going to want Belichick back. So I think they need somebody more seasoned to come in. Fields is a good buy for them. I think that's a good one. But, yes, they still have to get a good wide receiver, and there's still things that need to go in place. But I think that's a better get than starting from square one. I don't know if Mayo can really get somebody really green and turn it into something. If Belichick was there, I'd have a different attitude, but I'm not sure. I think Fields should go there. I think that's a good place to go.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, you know, but I still like Mac Jones. You're talking about quarterbacks that had one off year that teams are trying to get rid of, and I don't understand it. I think Russell Wilson would thrive in Pittsburgh. I think Daniel Jones would thrive in Pittsburgh. A Mac Jones would thrive in Pittsburgh. I saw a side of Pickett that I kind of scratched my head, and I don't know. Maybe it's the local kid, you know, playing in the city. I don't know, but they're looking at him now, and there's another guy. See, you know, here's another guy that was rushed into the system. And, you know, this is what happens. And the only reason Stroud is done well in Houston is there was nothing to do in Houston other than to go up. The whole Deshaun Watson thing was a debacle. So any wins in Houston was a plus for Stroud. And then they just caught lightning in a bottle and, you know, ended up, you know, winning, you know, the division and hosting a playoff and doing that and, you know, getting in the playoffs and doing
very well, though.
Yeah.
They drafted very well. They knew
well. Okay, so you tell me the difference between Houston and Chicago, because Chicago's got like 6-7 draft picks too. You know, teams that drafted well or got a boatload of draft picks from unloading one of their aging superstars. Dallas did it when they made the Herschel Walker trade. Okay, Houston's done very well with the Deshaun Watson thing. How come the Bears can't do anything?
because they're the Bears. Because the Bears look at one thing. They look at one thing to save them, and that's it. The Bears haven't – look, Trubisky was a bust on so many levels. I don't even – like, even his stats made no sense on why he went one. Everybody was scratching their heads on that. That made no sense, but it's the same thing. The Bears throw you in. Stroud, on the other hand, everybody was looking at that oh, he doesn't really have the intelligence. Oh, it's this, it's that. And a lot of people feel that was leaked, so he would fall to two. There's still that conspiracy theory going on. But the other thing is the way the Bears didn't draft on both sides of the ball. They just looked at Trubisky. The same thing they did with – they look at one spot and they look on one side of the ball. They just figured out midway through the season to get Montez Sweat. Then, you know, they figured out DJ Moore. They started to kind of figure it out to whereas the Texans were like, okay, we need this, then we need this. They put the pieces in place. And a lot of that has to do with D'Amico. He kind of knew. They don't have that. And I think part of that is coaching with the Bears. Part of that is coaching. So the Bears have not figured out, oh, we need both sides of the ball. That's right. And even with Justin Fields, you got him more, and that's wonderful. You still need a couple more pieces. Look at the tight ends. They weren't doing that, and they're not playing to his weaknesses. They're making Fields play to the system instead of making the system work around Fields. That's part of the problem. With Stroud, it was the opposite. They built the system around Stroud. And that's why he's doing, you know, they got Tank. They got a lot of people in there to make it work for him. And a lot of that, D'Amico kind of coached a little bit like Pete Carroll with Wilson. So I think what it is kind of going back to that old school mentality. But D'Amico was, you know, he's a player. And he's not a player from 50 years ago. He's recent. So he was there to kind of watch it all unfold. And I think that's also a little piece of the difference with some of these. So I don't know. I think Chicago is still stuck in what they used to be, and they're not getting with the times. And that's why I think Fields, we've seen a flash of greatness here and there. He's just not making that progression, which reminds me a little bit of Kyler Murray. You know, he kind of came in like gangbusters, and then he leveled out. I think Fields hasn't hit the gangbusters, but we see a flash and he levels out. I think he needs to go somewhere else, and we'll see more of a progression with him.
That makes sense. We're down to like 8 minutes. I see the Commanders lost FedEx rights. How crazy is that?
Yeah, I thought things were going to clean up with the Commanders a lot more. To be honest, I thought like they were on a road to recovery a little bit. So I'm very surprised about that. I saw Quinn's interview today at the Combine, and he looks so energized, like as a coach. He looks like he's really learned from his mistakes in Atlanta, that I have a renewed respect in a way, and I kind of feel like the Commanders might get it right, but a lot of it is going to come down to the draft and how they do it. And Caleb Williams does make me nervous. You know, the diva attitude. You know, I've heard, no, he doesn't really want to stake in this. He's not really asking for that. I get that he's not throwing at the combine, and I've heard, you know, he doesn't want to risk a bad day. He doesn't want to risk an injury.
Right.
But part of me is like, I don't remember when the QBs were like, I'm not throwing at the combine. You come to my pro day. I don't remember those days too well. I just remember everybody being there. So now I'm looking at it like, okay, Penix is going to be there. You know, Mayer's going to be like, you're just not throwing. Like, Jaden Daniels isn't going to throw. I'm like, since when do you guys make everybody come to you? And maybe it's not so new. And I'm just looking at it that way. That could be on me. But the diva attitude already seems to be there. So I'm like, are you playing into it because you know it's already on you and you can't get rid of it? It's like the stain that's already there. So you're just kind of going to be like, it's already there. I'm just playing into it. Screw it. Or are you a diva now? Like, that's where I'm at with him.
Well, I think what's happening there is he's playing the Bears because he doesn't want to go to Chicago. He wants to go to his hometown team, which is the Redskins. So I think
I don't know if that's part of it. Yeah.
That's where I think the problem is.
What's the deal? Yeah,
you know?
Now he's saying, like, oh, no, I'd be totally excited if the Bears got me and all that. And I'm like, and then I look at the Bears, and I'm thinking, you see, you guys did this. You get that, like, quarterbacks don't want to go to you because they've been told that's where you go if you want your career to die.
Right.
You know, like, I'm just looking at it.
Well,
like,
and I think what he's doing is he's saying, you know what, I'm going to protect my investment in myself.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, you go on a job.
No.
I'll give you an example. What about 4 minutes ago? You go on a job. You end up doing 3-4 things on that job. You know to yourself, okay, I can't ask for a raise now. They might not have enough people. I'm getting my hours. As soon as my hours go down a little, then what I'll do is I'll ask for a raise because, you know, you got to pick and choose when you're going to make that move. You can't go ask for a raise if there's 30 people in the place and there's no business, but they're still giving your hours. Your hours come down a little, then you can go ask for the raise because you've been there. You know, what you're doing is putting away stock, and that's the thing.
So then,
it's almost like getting a letter of recommendation somewhere.
Then here would be a crazy thought for the Bears. What if they said, we're going to keep Justin Fields, we're going to go after Marvin Harrison Jr., since most people consider him the actual top athlete in the draft. They're saying he's a generational wide receiver. We're going to grab him. And then what we're going to do is we're going to go get Kirk Cousins, and we're going to make him the backup to Justin Fields, because then if Fields blows this whole thing, we got Cousins in the back.
Yeah. Well,
a
lot of interesting things to talk about.
Line?
Right. There's going to be a lot of things as we start the haywire. And, you know, we're a couple of months away from, you know, lining up with times and dates and everything with the NFL. You know, that's going to be a big circus thing. As we wind this show down, I know you got things on the horizon. You're going to be part of the Philadelphia WWDB in April. So blessed to add you to the equation. In Philadelphia, so that's going to be really good in terrestrial radio, bringing you aboard on there. Just so blessed. Let everybody know, because now you at the top of the hour. Yeah, you got the Chelsea Rice Show, Chapter 16, Activate, The Novel Beginning, and you got a lot of things in the boat there as far as moving forward in New York in a couple months. Man, I'll tell you, I'm so proud of you. And I think of you each and every day how great you are in this show.
I am so happy to be part of this show and to be partnered with you. And I cannot wait to get on the Philly airwaves and probably aggravate a lot of Eagles fans with my Giants.
Yeah, wearing your Giants gear.
Yes, I will be in Giants gear. Yes, I will be in Giants gear all the time. I can guarantee you that. But, yes, I'm very excited about that. At the top of the hour, we will be doing A Novel Beginning with Chelsea Rice. And then we've got some other things coming down the pipeline, so I'm super excited. And I will be back in New York in about 2 months, back to the Big Apple, and maybe even coming to you from a couple Giants games. Who knows? You know,
yeah.
Back to the Giants.
And you're, you know what?
And,
you're a stone's throw away from Philadelphia, so I can see a tailgate party there too, when the Giants go into Philly. That's going to be interesting because once we know when the Giants go into Philly and you're on the Philly airwaves,
I'll be marching in.
You got to do something out of Philadelphia Station there.
I'll be marching in there fully. Yeah, I got my Jason C. Warren jersey. I got my Mark Navarro. I got a Lawrence Taylor one. You know, I'm going to have to go marching in there at some point, and I think we will have to see about getting Jason C. Warren on the show. And we need to discuss this whole Michael Irvin, you know, feud. But, yes, we've got a lot of things going on, and I'm super, super excited, and I really can't wait. I'm just happy to be doing the show.
Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
You can get a hold of me on Instagram at Versus of Fae, and, you know, check in with the DM and let me know your opinion or whatever questions you have, and I will bring it up on air. You know, we never shy away from that stuff.
Nope. She's Danielle Orsino in Charlotte. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. We'll be back next week, same time, same channel. Stay tuned at the top of the hour where her and Chelsea bring The Novel Beginning. Again, Chapter 16, Activate, so don't miss that one. Till then, have a blessed one. Catch the archive version of blogtalkradio.com/ Mancini Sports. We love you, and thanks for being a part of us.